Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So some of you have probably gotten to know a little bit about me, and part of what is a part of my characteristic that some people know is I like to take risks. I like to try new things. I'm kind of an adventurous person. In fact, I used to freak my mother out when I was a kid all the time. You heard stories already about my trip to Africa when I was 19. I made the decision to go to Africa when I was 17. And my mother said, "No, you're not." I said, "Yes, I am." But the risks I tend to take are often pretty calculated. And even though they may seem kind of wild and crazy to other people, I feel like it's the right thing. And I know that I'm not going to fail usually. And I usually have a backup plan about the risks that I want to take. So even if I do fail, I know it's not going to be too horrible. So my risks seem really adventurous to some, but to me, they're kind of well planned out and well thought of. And, you know, there's a net to catch me if it goes awry. But over the years, as I've gotten a little bit older, I realize that following Jesus often means taking risks without a lot of safety net. That there's a lot of surprises around the bend. Things that I don't expect happen without my able to control it. Following Jesus often means taking risks, not knowing what will be next. It means like being like these first disciples, being patient, doing a lot of waiting until the teacher makes a move and then scrambling to catch up in the first few steps. This text for today and a lot of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is just roaming around, walking. He's on the move. He doesn't stick around in one place very long. He doesn't wait until you've made up your plans. He doesn't wait until retirement comes in its perfect order and its perfect time. He doesn't wait for proper goodbyes, proper farewells, even the burying of the dead. He doesn't wait for loose ends to be tied up. To be a disciple in the Gospel of Luke means to follow Jesus, to go where the teacher goes, to follow where the teacher leads. The student's not supposed to say, "Well, where next?" But repeat to herself, "Stay close. Stay close to where the teacher goes." That's what I've read in this gospel passage, where Jesus says this strange line. He says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, stay close. You never know where he's going to go next. And this sense of staying close to Jesus and following and not having a place to lay your head, it disrupts the stable world of our fixed religion and our fixed society. We're setting up home and planting roots is a part of our culture. And I think it requires us to stick less to this or that place, whether it's a physical place or a place of sort of emotional security and location, or even religion, practices, and ideals. But on the other hand, risks often don't seem like really big decisions. You know, sometimes we have those big things that we need to calculate and make decisions about, but sometimes they're really small decisions. Think about childhood. The decisions to maybe start learning to play the piano and the things that it unfolded for you in your life. Or maybe the decision to start babysitting as a young child and realize how much you really do love children. Small things that we do when we are young can make big decisions and consequences in our lives, often for the good, but sometimes challenging as well. Growing up and becoming very defined things like actors or musicians or athletes, they seem to be all clear callings. And oftentimes those sort of callings come up in our childhood. We make a decision to play ball, and if we're fabulous at it, we continue to follow that path. Or we realize we're gifted at music, and so we follow that path. Maybe becoming a chef is a clear decision, a doctor, or a parent, or a teacher, or a scientist, an inventor, a mathematician, you name it. Sometimes it's very clear and direct, the decisions we make and the callings that we have. But most of us, I think, in our lives, we're somewhere in between the completely uncertain and the completely definite. We're in the middle. What are we called to do? Who are we? What are we supposed to be? That's sort of unclear category. I think we have a sense sometimes, if not oftentimes, of what we're good at, and we try to do it, and maybe we sort of make the connection between our abilities and God's hopes for us, but then maybe not. I talk to many young adults who are in college, and they say, yeah, I think I know what I'm supposed to do, and the next semester they change their major. How many times does that happen? Over and over again. We have a hint of where we're going. We have many different options of what's open to us. And sometimes we feel like we've made a wrong turn. The decisions in our life, they're really hard to make. Some harder than others. Some risks seem bigger than others. And some of the consequences of those risks are harder to bear. Today's gospel lesson begins with two men who are struggling with a sort of decision. James and John, they embraced this thing of being a disciple of Jesus, sort of full-heartedly, with their arms wrapped around the whole decision. They wanted to be Jesus' right-hand men. They would have done anything for him. I was shocked that hardly anybody, if nobody, giggled or laughed or winced when they said that they would bring fire down on the people who didn't want to hear the message of God from Jesus. Did you catch it? Oh, they're not listening to you, Jesus. Let's bring fire down from heaven. I mean, they're a little misguided, right? They don't quite got the whole picture of what Jesus was about yet. It's wonderful, Gospel of Luke, they're sort of in between. They don't get it. Is Jesus a God of the sword? Is he willing to fight? Why doesn't he fight? What's this thing of love and grace and mercy? There are three exchanges that happen in this passage that I find kind of troubling. First, you have volunteer disciple is warned of sort of the material rootlessness ahead. There is no home. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. And then you have this sort of invitee who cites generational responsibilities of what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take care of your parent. I'm supposed to stay and say goodbye to my father. But Jesus dismisses him too. Finally, we have another eager beaver who doesn't seem to have his priorities in order either. He says, sure, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go home and say farewell to those who I love. Jesus says to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but these three conversations that Jesus had really worried me, make me a little, if not a lot, nervous. I pondered the homelessness of Christ, Christ wandering around without a place to rest his head. Pondered that huge risk. Not putting down roots, not having a home. I read a theory that the second man really meant that he needed to stay home until his father died someday in the future. And then when things were in order, he would follow. I also read that the person pushing a hand-driven plow that Jesus referred to in his response has to keep looking ahead in order to get the furrow straight. Right? If you're turning around, it's kind of like driving a car. Yeah? Turn around, you're going to kind of be all over the field, and you're not going to be in a straight line. I wonder how often it is that we look back. I wonder how often it is that we think, why did I do that? Why did I make that decision? How many of us are actually free to pick up and just go wherever Jesus calls at the drop of a hat? How many of us think we're free anyway? I mean, think about it. How disruptive would it be if in life we just literally dropped everything and got up and walked away? Jeff and I are leaving tomorrow, by the way. You get the picture, right? It's tricky. How do we transfer this into our world today? Well, as I've been pondering it, I think I realized something. That yes, Jesus was preaching to his disciples, but I also think in this Gospel of Luke, perhaps he was talking to himself. As preachers, we often say the preacher preaches to the preacher. Perhaps this is one of those examples. I think maybe Jesus is trying to figure it out too. He won't make a home. He won't bury his mother. He will plow straight on to Jerusalem to the cross. He may be God, but he's also human. He's also human. He knows the stuff of life that he is going to miss out on. What an astonishing thing, isn't it, that our faith is built on? That God chooses to be human? Here we see, I think, the moment of decision for Jesus, or one of the moments of decisions for Jesus. He does live his call to the end, but I think it was also a constant decision to make throughout his life. Does he stay and bury his mother and do the thing his culture is saying he should do? Does he build a life, become a good Jewish man, supposed to have a family and a home, continue his work as a carpenter and be good at what he does, or perhaps have a hand in the plow of his crops and provide for his community? He is all those things. A carpenter, a teacher, a friend, a son. But he is a savior. It was clear from the beginning that he had a huge call. But these verses in Luke, they suggest that, like the rest of us, he had the freedom to make choices. We know all what he did finally choose. All throughout the gospel, he uses the power not of the sword or of fire, but the power of words, of grace and mercy and love. But he doesn't sugarcoat it for us, right? God loves us, but following God in this world will not be easy. It will often mean doing things that seem to be strange, according to the world around us, different than what others might suggest. Those around us will not understand our choices because we follow a God who is counter to culture. We don't know either really where the road is going to lead us. We make choices knowing that God will be with us along each step and each path. We don't know what's around the other side of the horizon. We can only see so far ahead. We may have a little sense of what God wants for us along the way. Those things that come naturally to us, those things that sort of fit right within us. But the certainty, sort of the gospel for me today, the good news for me, is that we're not called to be the savior. We're not called to make ultimate sacrifice. We have a savior. We have a Jesus. But we are called to walk the life ahead of us, taking risks, trusting faith in God. Sometimes I think the biggest call as disciples is to give up the illusion of control, the illusion that we have the power over our lives, and to take some risks with God, to throw ourselves into sort of this turbulent life and this world that God loves so much, and we trust that God will join us in the adventure. God will hold on to us through all of the ups and all of the downs, and will eventually bring us to the other side. Jesus chose the road to Jerusalem to do the work of love, no matter how hard it was. we get to do the same, and that we get to do the work of God's love as well, to live fully as the people that God has made us to be, in all of the ups and all of the downs and all of the risks and all of the bends in the road. God is there. For that I say thanks be to God. Amen.